Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Paul's statement in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 through verse 12, where we want to continue today, but let me refresh our memories by reading this passage. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now those are some very serious words from the apostle. And we discussed yesterday what truth is, and whether or not men can know the truth. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the very embodiment of truth. We saw his prayer in John 17, where in praying for his disciples, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is important. He himself said in John 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when he said that to these unbelieving Jews, that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, he expressed the fact that we can know the truth, that there is an absolute standard, that truth is not relative. And we were noticing that instead of truth, many people have replaced it with subjectivism, and they go by their feelings rather than that objective truth. But truth is important, and truth can be understood. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, said in 1 Timothy 4, verse 3, that some would depart from the faith. And he goes on to say that they would command to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe, and notice, them which believe and know the truth. Now, was Paul wrong in saying that people can believe and know the truth? Who would be so bold as to suggest that that would be the case? And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now the Hebrew writer says it's possible to have a knowledge of the truth. And Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. He certainly implied that it's possible to know the truth, know enough of the truth to obey it. And it could be said of Peter's exhortation when he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, 2. And he's saying that one would have to know the word before he could desire it, before he could grow. So we've noted only a few of the passages in the New Testament which clearly teach that one can know the truth. And if one cannot know the truth, then God's word becomes meaningless. And when people say, we can't understand the Bible alike, they're really suggesting that God's word lacks uniformity. That God's truth says 1,001 things to different people. It's a fact that many people misunderstand God's word, but when it is properly understood, it teaches the same thing to as many people as hear it. Any Bible-believing person must admit that we can know the truth. We can know the truth to the extent that we can be saved and we can remain saved. And this should be our serious objective in life. Let God be thanked and God be true and every man be found a liar. Now, a third question, how important is truth? Well, to those who are concerned with their well-being in this life and certainly in the world to come, God's truth is all important. And it should be so with every accountable person, since all are amenable or answerable to God's law, and all will stand before God in judgment one day. We see pictured in Matthew 25, verse 31 through verse 32, the great judgment scene. And God's truth is the only means by which preparation for the judgment can be made. And for those that love not the truth and those who reject the truth, they're sealing their own condemnation, which is coming upon them and all unbelievers. And we have never seen such a devaluation of truth as has occurred in recent years. Not only is this true in society in general, not only in political realms, and also in the spiritual realm. Good times, material prosperity, have brought about a terrible spiritual depression. And like the church at Laodicea, which said, "We are rich, we're increased with goods, have need of nothing," seems to be the philosophy of many today. That is, they only think that they have all the material things they need, but it's a sobering fact that people are wretched, they're miserable, they're poor, they're blind, they're naked when it comes to their spiritual well-being. And sound evidence of this is reflected in our morality of our society. Now, the importance of truth is seen also in that it's the only means by which men can be freed from the guilt of their sins. Jesus said in John 8:32, "The truth," that is, the gospel, "the truth shall make you free." And Paul says that's the gospel, that's God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. And Peter spoke, as we noticed earlier, that those who obeyed the truth, it resulted in the purifying of their souls. So purification of the soul represents acceptance by God. The word of God's grace is able to give one an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. We learn in Acts 20:32, as Paul gave his farewell admonition to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And in the same apostle's description of a Christian in Ephesians 6:17, he said, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And the Hebrew writer describes God's Word as being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. So we can truthfully say that God's truth serves as an effective weapon in the Christian's warfare. And the truth, the Word of God, serves as an all-sufficient guide in living the Christian life. Nothing else serves this purpose. Remember the statement about the Scriptures? All Scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. To what end? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, this rules out any need for any man-made creed or set of rules to guide the child of God. And if this truth was accepted in the religious world, it would do away with so much religious division. The church is to serve as the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. So this places a great responsibility upon the church, and a noble responsibility. The church doesn't originate any truth, but it is to defend and uphold that which has already been given, that all-sufficient truth. And the Lord's church is suffering greatly in our day due to a failure of so many congregations to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. We hear so much that's based on feelings, so much based on subjectivism, instead of it being really the truth. And there are enemies of the truth today. Christ said in Matthew 12:30, "He that is not with me is against me." And among those enemies of the truth are those who would pervert the gospel. Galatians 1, Paul warned about those. He said, "There are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And as it was in Paul's day, so it is now. Denominationalism and cultism preaches a perverted gospel. The true gospel will not produce a certain kind of a Christian. It will produce just a Christian. Seed reproduces after its kind. And in the New Testament days, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Acts 11:26. And Peter said, "If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." The true gospel will not produce confusion. It'll make just Christians today. And Paul says of the Gentiles who knew the truth, that they became fools, that they changed the truth of God into a lie, Romans 1, verse 21. And today, some who claim to be Christians are upholding things that is a lie, things that are clearly against God's will. Some find causes for divorce and remarriage other than the one reason given by Christ in Matthew 19, verse 9. Some find ways to fellowship and participate in error, which is a violation of God's law and fellowship. Some find ways of using all kinds of entertainment and worship rather than things that are authorized in the Word of God. There are those who are compromisers. They are enemies of the truth. All false teachers, such as Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were teaching in 2 Timothy 2, verse 17 and 18, that the resurrection was past already, and consequently were overthrowing the faith of some. You name any false doctrine, and there's a great chance that somebody that you know is practicing it or knows quite a bit about it. But truth is attainable. Truth is knowable. Truth is objective. We pointed out that we can know the truth and that we can stand in the truth, and that it's very important that we be on our guard against the enemies of the truth. There's something which stands out as very significant when Paul says, the love of the truth. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I say again, one can acknowledge God's word as being truth and yet still fail to have a strong desire for it, have a special reverence and a special respect for it. And one's interest in gaining more knowledge of God's truth is a very noble goal, but it may be half-hearted. And one may be just thinking and wishfully thinking that he's going to know more truth, but it takes study. Studying to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. And truth is so important. Well, we've noticed that truth is knowable and that it's so important to have a love for the truth. When people transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ, they cannot have God's approval. Now, we've noticed that there are false teachers who are compromising the truth. There are those who would pervert the truth. But we need to stand in the truth. And as Solomon said, we need to buy the truth and sell it not. Again, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Serious words, my friend, 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. Buy the truth, sell it not.